wineskins and new wineskins. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Here it says, the Son of God came to the world is not to condemn man or to judge the world. Jesus came is not to judge the world or to condemn the world, but rather through Him be saved. We know that Jesus came in His birth, before His birth, and Joseph in his dream saw the angel told him Mary, take Mary as your wife, and his name, and the child to be born will be called Jesus, and he will save his people from his sins. So this Son of God came is to save his people from their sin, and that by his name that we may be saved, and he's not to condemn us and to judge us. Next, turn to John chapter 8. From verse 1, John 8, 1 to 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to him, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go now and leave your life of sin." How God came to this world, He's not to condemn us and judge us. I do not know in your perception what kind of God or what God is like, or whether you have many matters you're afraid that God would know, or afraid that God will control you. And this is because we do not know God. And today we want to see what kind of God we have. In chapter 8, verse 4, it says, the Pharisees and the scribes said that this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? What are you going to do, Jesus? In verse 7, it says, and they continued, kept on questioning Jesus. So the scribes and the Pharisees, that their spirit that's within them is to judge people and condemn. And not only they want to condemn this woman caught in the act of adultery, but also to condemn Jesus. They want to take the stone to stone her. So they want to ask Jesus and then to find from Jesus' words to trap him and accuse him. These are the scribes and the Pharisees. We know that the scribes and the Pharisees are the good people, the devoted people. So we need to ask ourselves, And they are the ones who do a lot of religious activities. And what is in them, they important to them, they said that whoever sins, they need to condemn such and such a person. And if you do not condemn this person's sin, then I am going to condemn you also. We need to ask ourselves, if we are Christian, we come and worship God, we donate a tenth, we tithe, we read the Bible, is it within ourselves we have a spirit of condemnation or a spirit of saving people? Jesus came to the world to save. And do we have insight? We want to save this person, save that person, or in our eyes we say, how can this person do this or be that way? That's a spirit of condemnation or the spirit of salvation. One time I read a comic book story. It's a Christian comic story. And it's very, very meaningful. In the story, it says there's a village, and the village is in the desert area, and the villagers do not have water. But close by them, there is a kind old man. He has a well, and the water on the well is very sweet, and the well is very deep. And he is very loving. And he said that anyone can come, wants to drink water, can come, and it's free. However much of water you need, you can come and get the water. So people come and they get the water. And when they come and draw from the well, the owner's son would help the people draw the water, and they would ask the people how they are and how their family are. One day, the father and the son were to go on a journey. So they said to the villagers, do not worry, we have a servant here, and if you need water, you can still come and get the water. Our servants will provide you with the water. And so the servant provided water for the villagers. And then the people came and lined up to get the water. And the servant slowly discovered that the people who come do not know how to be thankful for the water. They just take the water and never say thanks. And so he said, those who are not grateful, then we will not give you water. So if you forget that you say thanks, then next time you will have no water. So after another while, the servant discovered that some of the people who came to drink the water are very unkind to their neighbors and very cruel to the animals. If you don't have love for your enemies and you don't have love for the animals, we don't give you water to drink. And so the villagers do their best to be good to the animals and their neighbors. After a while, the servant said, and so the servant discovered more and more of the weaknesses of the villagers. And then he said that you are too lazy. If you are lazy, you cannot drink of the water. Or if you are too busy and you are hurrying here and hurrying away, and so you are very busy, we can't give you water to drink. Or that your actions are very slow, we can't give you water to drink. Or if you are not clever enough or smart enough, we will not give you water to drink. And its requirements are becoming higher and higher. Or that later on it becomes that if you're not beautiful enough or you're not handsome enough, you do not comb your hair right, then there's no water. So the people who came to draw water, the lines have become shorter and shorter and fewer people. And the villagers in the hospital, the villagers are becoming very angry. And then until what point can we fulfill the requirements of the servant? That we can never satisfy the servant, but they could not do. and then the lines, the people who qualify are becoming fewer and fewer. And then one time, a stranger came to get the water. And the servant said, show me your that you're meeting the requirements. And this person did not care about the server, and so walked by the well and said that, I'm here to help you. And this servant was very angry. By what can you say this? Who are you that you can say these words? And so this person took away his hood, covering his head. And then this person was the son of the owner, and the servant was afraid. And then the villagers are very happy, and they're clapping their hands, and then the owner's son has returned. And this villager said that, we want to avenge this servant, and don't give water to the servant. He was very cruel to us. And what did this owner's son say? I already told you that this water is free gift. Yes, I know that he was cruel to you, but if only the good people can drink this water, who can drink this water? When he said this, and then the villagers felt ashamed. We men are like this. We are cruel to others. We've been cruel to others, and then we are cruel to others. If other people have high standards of us, until we reach a standard and give us something, until one day, if we have an opportunity, we would treat others also. We say that they are not qualified to drink this water. And we do not want others to treat us this way, but without knowing, we ourselves treat others the same way. We do not like other people to condemn us, but without us knowing, we condemn others. But the Son of God, he continuously set the standard that the water is free. It's not only for the good, but anyone. I love every one of you. Not because you're good, I love you. Or because you fit my requirements, I can give you the water. But I just give you freely. It's a gift. So Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes, the Bible described it very clearly. And Jesus is just writing on the ground. He did not condemn this woman. But the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to force him to say, and kept on asking him. But our Son of God has so much wisdom, is full of love and full of heavenly wisdom. He said, any one of you that's without sin can throw the first stone. And the Bible says that from the oldest to the youngest, they left. The youngest, the oldest, they know that they are with sin. And then the youngest one would think that they think that they are self-righteous, and therefore they do not know their sin. And after a while, they thought that, yeah, we ourselves also have sin, and they all left. We really need to understand, our God came not to condemn us, but many times through our growth, by our parents, by our teachers, by our peers, students, we have been condemned by them. And this became our standard, and that becomes our character. And I thought of this servant of the owner of the well. Every one of us here, we are like this servant. Whether it's the parents, the teachers, or the small house group, or whether the preacher or the pastors, God asks us to feed to his sheep. So the owner said to the servant, whatever you have received freely, you must freely give out. What would you think this servant will do? He will have a big change in his life. He will feel ashamed. When we have this law character in us, when we touched grace, we will be melted, we will be softened. Yes, this grace, we are not worthy. And I said that such and such a person cannot drink, and such another person cannot drink. But this Son of God, He said, He still wants to give me to drink. It's not I'm worthy. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us, and we would know, and from then on we know what is love. God's love is like this, without any qualifications. Today we are saved, it's not because we are better than others, but it is a free grace. He chose us from before the creation of the world. He loved us. He gave us His salvation freely as a gift. That's the love of God. But many times we do not understand. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, 51 to 56. As the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And He sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for Him. But the people there did not welcome Him because He was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do You want us to call for fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "They went on to another village." But Jesus turned to them and rebuked them, said, "But the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You see, James and John have followed Jesus for so many years. And they met people who did not welcome their master. They said, "Lord, shall we call fire from heaven down to destroy them?" What did Jesus say? Jesus turned and rebuked them. And our God is not a God that is not happy when people stand on His side. And then the love would not cause a split in the group, or that such a person who stand on my side, therefore I love them. And Jesus turned to them and rebuked them, saying that you do not know your hearts. The Son of Man came not to destroy, but to save lives. I came to save lives. Even though others do not accept me, they rejected me, they disliked me, I still want to save their lives. So this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Not matter in our minds, in the Christians' minds, or in the non-believers, is that they are not a good person, and they were caught in the act of adultery. Such a person, Son of God did not condemn her. And even though you do not welcome Him, you reject Him, He still wants to save you. And the disciples of Jesus do not understand. And Jesus said, "You must love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you." They did not understand. And when they met another matter, the natural self came out. "Lord, call, you want us to call heaven from heaven to destroy them?" That is our old wineskin. There was a counselor, a servant of God. One time he counseled a person, and that person, and then he would treat lightly life, and he thought that life is a game. And then all the shameful things that he has done in his life, and his failures, and then rotten stuff, and he would say them out loud to the counselor. And when he was talking and speaking. His attitude was very sincere and very open about the things, shameful things that they have done. And no shame at all. Brothers and sisters, if you were counseling such a person, and you would say, how come such a person is so numb to sin? Or such a person has no shame at all. And when they say these kind of things, it's like no big deal. Even though they said all these things, aren't they shameful? And at that time, God said to his servant, saying, do not say any words of rebuke to him. You must only tell him that I love him and accept him. I will do my work on him. So this servant of God, while he was hearing the words from this person, he sees the heart of the person is so good, so warm, and so true and real and sincere. And he was just, while he was talking, but the holiness and righteousness of God has not grown in this person. And before that happened, he was blemished. This is the eyesight of God. God's Son came to save us, not to condemn us. That's why he says we can come to him boldly, to the throne of grace. Come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. If your back is not towards Jesus, if you walk towards him, you will be saved. The more sincere and real you're before God, the more completely you will be saved. This is our God. Do you know our God? Many times we see such a person who have done these shameful things that they have done. Then our old wineskins will say, we will immediately condemn them. Oh, this person, wow, such a bad person. They have fallen so far. But God is not that way. Many times when we see someone who has done wrong, then we would pronounce them, they are a bad person, a hopeless person. But God is not this way. Even the woman that was caught in the adultery, it may be it's because of her circumstances. She was blemished when she was young, and she would be self-pity, or her parents did not teach her properly, and then she grew up in the wrong circumstances, and she fell. But this person, but their hearts may be very kind and very warm and compassionate towards others. And even the Pharisees did not commit adultery or done any shameful things, but their hearts are always accusing of others. Or such a person needs to be punished, or that person needs to be condemned. So different. Many times do we see such a person who have done something wrong, do we deny the whole person? No, God never sees a person like this, because he is not to condemn us. Our God is love. So the sinners and the tax collectors, the prostitutes, he did not condemn the sins. But then Jesus cannot take in what kind of people? It's the Pharisees. And Jesus used the most severe words to condemn the Pharisees. They have a high moral standards, don't they? They've done good things, didn't they? Even though they've done good things, but in them they have this spirit of accusation, of condemning others. And how did Jesus rebuke the Pharisees? Oh, they are wolves with sheepskins on. And they are wolves with sheepskins. They are wolves with sheepskins. even though the look, attitude is very kind and gentle, but inside of them, they are like wolves. And they, Jesus said that they are like whitewashed tombs, but inside them, they are full of dead men's bones. So as myself is waiting and waiting upon the Lord for this message, and then myself truly understand why God so hates the Pharisees, because what they are thinking and doing is 180% from God, 180 degrees from God. God is love. God wants to save every kind of person, like those who are drug addicts. And then God knows how to use. And then he said that he is useless. And then God can use the hopeless, the useless people to glorify him. And they found their position. And they found their usefulness. That is God. We need to touch the heart of God. This servant of God, while he was counseling this person, he said, when he's listening to him, why would he belittle life and would so casually say his shameful things and rotten things and without any feeling ashamed? Why? Because after he finished saying this, he wants to leave this servant of God, and maybe he wants to go to commit suicide and maybe never see him again. Many times we hear this, we would use our hearts to accuse this person and condemn them. And such a person is like this because they have sinned so much they are numb. A person, since they are young, they have been treated unjustly. They have a self-pity and self-hate, and they feel that they are useless person, and no matter what evil they do, is no matter to them anymore. But God yet gave his servant insight, and so his servant loved this person, and he's beautiful in the eyes of God. And God wants to, God's waiting for him to put a ring on him, give him shoes to wear, and then put a robe on him so that he may gain the position of a son. This is the heart of God. Brothers and sisters, we truly need to know the heart of God, his love, his eyesight. His viewpoint of us. Today we know if the person is sitting beside of us, that the evil deeds have done is sitting next to me, what would you think? And if sitting here, we say, oh, maybe this church has a problem. Or if a hopeless person is sitting next by you and they're smelly, or let me change to another row to sit. Today, if the person and the sitting beside you that have a lot of makeup and we said, oh, such a person loves the world and they're fallen, and let me change to sit in another place. So we must understand whether there's inside of us, we have the spirit of Pharisees of accusation and condemnation. And then we thank the Lord I'm glad that she came to my church, that I may share the four spiritual laws with such a person. And God loves such a person, and I can share the gospel with them. What is in your heart? What is in your heart? We truly need to understand, do we have within us the spirit of Pharisees or the spirit of Jesus to save? God's Son hates the Pharisees, and the Pharisees hate him also, because the actions of Jesus are totally opposite of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees feel like they are following the law, and you are not following the law, and therefore if you do not follow with us, then therefore you are against the law. How can you always with the sinners and the tax collectors together? so our old wineskins would block us from knowing Jesus, because we want to accuse him and condemn him. Rick Joyner, when he said, spoke of the religion, spirit of religion, he said that a person with the spirit of religion, he said that their main ministry is to destroy the wrong works. Brothers and sisters, if a person is always criticizing this or that church, or scolding this person, or scolding that church, and then God did not give us the gift of rebuking or scolding others. If we continue that way, we become like Pharisees. On the other hand, a person with the spirit of religion, how he treat others or treat other churches or their own church, it's very easy to see their weaknesses and wrongs rather than their praiseworthy points. They always see their wrongs and over their areas where they are praiseworthy, always see their imperfections. Very difficult to see the good part of the church. Oh, we thank the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, so love one another. We thank the Lord. Oh, they love so each other so much. They always see the imperfections. And then the person with the spirit of religion, they truly believe that they have been called by God to adjust everybody's life. A brother one time shared in the house group this. He said that he has been a Christian for many years, that God gave him this a gift, that his eyes can see everyone's imperfections. He said that this is a gift from God. Until one day, the house group was listening to the humility tapes. They discovered that this is criticism and judging spirit, that this is pride, and he shared out with himself, and he repented before the Lord. And you know this brother, I will not say who he is, but he is a very humble person, a very gentle person. And yet another time, another brother in the small house group testified. He said every time he heard the sermon, he said 10 minutes, and he can spend 30 minutes talk to his wife for 30 minutes which areas the speaker has spoken wrong. One time he read the Bible, and he read back and forth, why would Paul wrote so much about whether we can eat the food offered to idols. In the end, Paul did not give an answer, and Paul did not say whether you can eat or not eat the food offered to the idols. And then he said that you cannot eat the food offered to idols and also eat the food offered to God. If a person is holy, how can you be defiled? And back and forth he read, and then he understood. And what Paul really meant was that whether you eat or need is not important, but rather what is your motivation? Is your motivation by love to eat or not to eat? That's the most important point. And this is a revelation to him. He discovered that he has the spirit of the knowledge of good and evil in him. He has eaten of the fruit. So from then on, he escaped from the spirit of criticism and judgment. And he said that he's very happy from then on. He said that every time when he hears speakers speaking the sermons again, even some he does not disagree or he does not quite understand, he said that no matter what, the speaker's motivation is love to help certain people. Even though I don't need it, other people would need it. And he would bless the speaker and he would enjoy the sermon. No matter what, he said the motivation of the speaker is to help and save some among us. And so he blesses the speaker. He said from then on he became a very happy person. Brothers and sisters, it is true. When within you there is the spirit of criticism and judgment and accusation, you know that this person is very often not happy. If we are unhappy for a long time, there is a problem here. We have the accusation, finger of accusation. We are like the Pharisees. We cannot accept others. We always feel like others are wrong. Problem is always with other people. So the two brothers I shared with you, they have become believers for a long time. They felt like God gave them a special calling, a special gift to find out the wrong and wrongs in the sermon. Sometimes we are behind the veil. We do not know. So that's why many times you need to pray to the Lord, shine your light on us. Is there any blindness in me that causes me not to see? You see, John and James have followed Jesus for so long. They completely do not know Jesus. Even though they slept and lived and ate with Jesus, they've seen the miracles performed. Their immediate reaction is the reaction of the old wineskin, as to burn them and destroy them. We truly need to understand the desire of God to save people, and He came to save us. If there's within us, we feel that often that the other people are accusing us and condemning us. It may be that others are not accusing you or condemning you, or that we ourselves condemn and accuse others, and we are afraid that others to condemn and accuse us. If you pay attention to that, a person said that such and such a person and very impolite to me, it's truly that it's a fact that this person themselves say this kind of attitude, with this kind of attitude to other people. Inside of us, what kind of spirit do we have within us? Then we would feel like others would treat us the same way. If we feel like other people accuse you, then we need to pay attention that whether inside of us, we ourselves also are very criticizing and judging of others. And such a person is that since when they were young, they were never loved. They have not received enough love. And often, many times, they have been accused wrongly and criticized, and therefore they react the same way to others. Recently, I listened to a testimony of a young mother, and this mom has a son and a young daughter, and the son and daughter wanted to learn the piano. So after a while, they do not like to practice the piano. So every Monday lesson, on Saturday, on Sunday, the mom's pressure increased because the child would not want to practice their piano. And the mom would nag him, and the moms would get angry. And the mom would say that on Monday's lesson, after the music lesson, mom would bring you to McDonald's to eat hamburgers. So on Monday, they went to the lessons. So on this Monday, the son played well, but the daughter did not play well at all, and so this mom was very angry and felt that, and then the teacher also said to the mom, maybe your child should not take lessons now, maybe when they grow older they can take lessons. And the mom felt like she lost faith. And so the mom has been accumulating all this high pressure, and when she left the teacher, she's like a volcano. She immediately drove home. And later, she said that she heard Pastor Tong's message, and Pastor Tong said that he locked his key in the car, in the car, and the car is already on, and Pastor Tong was praising and praying to the Lord. And this sister heard this and said, such an old man in such a circumstances is still thanking and praising the Lord. And me, and for my my children are not practicing their piano, and I'm so angry. And so she repented of it and said that my eyes should be focusing on you and not on their practicing their piano. So on Saturday and Sunday, she would thank the Lord and would not cause herself to have to bear this pressure. So on Monday, she went to the lesson. The son did not play well. And when they left the teachers, she took them to McDonald's. And the son and the daughter were talking. Because today I play well, so mom took us to McDonald's. No, he said, no, mom, last week I played well, and therefore mom wants to make up for last week. And while the two were talking, and then they asked mom and said, mom, why are you taking us to McDonald's today? Because last week I played very well, and so you want to make up to me. And the mom said, no, because I heard Pastor Tong's sermon. I felt that mom should not be angry like this. And then mom wants to please Jesus, and my eyes should be focused on him and not focus on your practicing the piano. So mom is not angry, so mom bring you to eat McDonald's. You know, that day when she went home, her son, whatever he's doing, he's faster by 3 times to do his homework and go to take his shower. Actions are very fast. Only grace can build us up. You know, such a young child, and how the parents treat the child, children. You know, the children are living in law. You can see the discussion of the children. You know, they're living under the law. Of course, we were children. We can say to our children, whatever I've said to you, if you follow what I said, and if you practice well, I can go to McDonald's. If you did not practice well, you cannot go. Or today you did not play well, therefore we cannot go to McDonald's. But you did not tell your kid ahead of time, and you said that you want to bring them to McDonald's. All of a sudden, you did not even bring, and you drove back directly, and you didn't want to explain to them. Then the feeling from the children is that you do not like me, you reject me. And they do not understand that it's their own wrong. But when this mother, when she starts to live before the Lord, she has grace. She has grace towards the children. When you are living before the God of grace, then you will have grace for your children. And your grace would build your children up. And the children will say that, I am not worthy of this. And they become good and more obedient. So we need to pay attention. Without us knowing, we would become the old man's the servant who owns the well. We would have all kinds of requirements. For example, some people would say, if you are disobedient, I do not like you anymore. Especially, we should not use spiritual terms to accuse others. I know some parents would say this. They come to church, and then the child came back and threw a temper tantrum, and he said, "What's the use of going to church?" Or the husband to the wife, "You go to so many meetings. What's the use?" And then you have come to so many meetings, you still get angry. Or the wife talked to the husband, said, "And you are the head of the family. How come you have no morning devotions? What's the use?" we will use many of these spiritual terms to accuse others and condemn others. If you analyze it, there's no way these words can change them. All spiritual things, only positive attraction can cause people to rise up. It's not them requiring them or condemning them. They cannot cause them to change. Bible says the law cannot revive you. And God used the law to lead us to Christ, to come before a Christ who has grace, and in His grace we will become alive. You know that servant of God, while he was counseling this person, when he has finished listening to the guy talking, he said that in the eyes of God, who you are, and told him, God created him to have a certain position. And that person, the person's eyes brightened and his heart became alive. You know, all the words he said, all those things belittling his life, you know that he's dead inside. When God created you, the whole person became alive. So brothers and sisters, we need use the grace of God to treat others. Today, and I want to remind everyone today, whether it's my experience or I read and hear the testimony of other brothers and sisters, some that are very good, I will share in my sermons. And that the doc, sometimes when I speak of the doctrine, so that it'd be difficult to understand, but to make it easier to understand, I use a lot of illustrations such that it can show that it can be lived in our daily lives. And in the illustrations that I use, if it is too detailed, and some people will feel like I cannot do that, and they felt like they're very bad, and they accuse themselves, and this is something I had never thought of. But through these several years, my sermons, if you feel like you are condemned or accused, and that you feel like you can never do that, and you felt that you yourself is very bad, and I want to stand here and ask for your forgiveness. Because inside of me, I never thought that anyone who heard this would feel this way. But I know some people feel this way. And then I want to use this opportunity. I want to ask for your forgiveness. And I apologize. And Martina has said to me several times, and she said, that I know that you love brothers and sisters very much. Why don't you tell them that? Well, I said, what to tell them? And he said, just tell them you love them. I said, my mom and dad never said such things to me that I know my father loves me, but he loves us through his actions. He never used words to say they love us. And then before I was a Christian, I could not even say thanks to my father and mom. And after I became a Christian, I would say thanks to my mom and dad. You know, last year, my father came, and I saw my father, I want to hug her. And then my father pushed me aside because he did not know how to react. And he had Japanese education, did not know how, has never been hugged before. And I never done it before, and this is my first time to hug him. And I got all the courage to hug him. And it felt very unnatural, and so I went and grabbed the luggage. And this is my family background. So, like my father, my sister, one time she gave a testimony that my father never loved her, my mom never loved her, and my father heard this, he was very angry. And then later on when I goes up to speak, he raised his hands. I did not dare to see him. He felt that he was very misunderstood. On the way back, my sister went out. And they went out to walk. My father was very angry, said to me, "How come the mom and dad, we do not love him? I spend the most money on her." Because my sister, since she was young, was very sick. He said, "I spent so much time and I sold a house to pay for her medical expenses to save her life. And we saved her. The doctor was able to save." And so the father felt how ungrateful she is and so misunderstood. And I said, "Daddy, I know that you love her," but she did not feel it. And then she said, "What do you mean that you did never love? You did not know, how come she did not feel it? You are like her also." And I know that I cannot continue. I said, "Yes, yes, yes, yes. You truly love her. Yes, you truly love her. You can only submit. If the more you say, if you more say that, they will cause unhappiness." I just want to say, that's our family background. My parents love us, but we do not feel it. When I'm shepherding a church, it's the same way. I came out full-time ministry 26 years. I came out, I may be hungry for the Lord. I may starve for the Lord. And then I want to give out these good things to God, to God's people. And that there's such a wonderful God, such a precious God that can live in us. I want to share with them such a precious good news that on the earth that we can live this heavenly life. And this is my desire. And that for this sake, I'm willing to starve if it comes to that. But sometimes, while I'm shepherding the church, and then my purpose is for the benefit of the whole church, whether the planning of the pulpit or the worship or the Sunday school, we are all, from the young to the oldest, is for the sake that they may receive more of the build-up of their life. That is the first priority. For example, the Sunday school teachers, we must choose those who are born again, those who love the Lord, and those can be qualified to be our Sunday school teachers. And after a time, they have taught for a while, some children feedback to the parents saying that, and the teachers are very dry. And the parents feedback to the pastors. And what do we do? And let them go. Let them go. We cannot offend the teachers. And if the kids share with the mom, or maybe they do not know, or they did not pay attention in class, I can just let it go. But I did not think this way, because I myself, those good teachers are very important. When I was in middle school, my history and geography teacher is a very monotonic in the voice, and he would just read from the book, and I dislike history and geography. Every day we have to memorize such and such, where are the coal mines, where are the railroads, and they would ask all those strange questions. And I hated the history and geography. And then I was really surprised that some people were actually major in such awful subjects as geography and history. Until one time, we had a substitute teacher. And then he would draw a woman and then draw her head. He said that this is a person from the Jiangxi province. And they would draw and talk. And you know, since middle school until now, 30 years ago, and then now, I remember that, you know, till now. He's such a good teacher, can teach to such a point. But another teacher, Every time he's teaching, then I will read my own books. He can, you know, teach his, and I will do my own stuff. Such a great difference. If my teacher was like this substitute teacher, and how much I would like geography and history. You know, history until we have several co-workers. We went to the history of the church, and we heard Pastor Chow teaching, and we said, oh, history is so good. And the history is so interesting. And after I become a Christian, I know. So every Sunday school teacher, they come with the compassion and the energy to teach. But if the children's feedback is that they cannot listen to the teacher and they feel like it's dry, we then need to tell the Sunday school teacher to try a different teacher. And we all must have this healthy mind. If other people can teach such that they benefit the children more, then let the others teach. We should all have this mind. And then do not see like, and then I'm teaching and don't want me to teach and feel very offended or been accused or condemned or disliked. No, no. Because everyone has their own gift. If teaching the young children, you need your own gift. You need to dance, you need to sing, you need to have a very lively, and then the children can pay attention. So you need a gift. It's not just you don't need life, but you also need a gift. So we should have this common understanding. If there's a person shepherding a church and they can build up the brothers and sisters to lead brothers and sisters to lead everyone to Christ, then I will give such the church into his hands. And then I will ask this person to come to become the senior pastor. I am such a person. I don't have to stand in this position myself. If you know such a pastor, let me know. And all our actions is that the kingdom of God may mature, that every one of us will grow up in the full stature of Christ, that the will of God may be manifested here. This is our desire as pastors and preachers. In every aspect, in governing the church, this is our purpose. So, brothers and sisters, you need to have this understanding. Or you don't say, why do you use this person and not use the other person? Or use this other person and not use me? Don't have this kind of doubts that Jesus came to save lives. All our service is to lead us to Christ, isn't it? If other people can serve better, why don't you come? Oh, it's not that I have pressure and then I throw this ministry away to others. Or it's not that I love to teach and therefore I must teach and other people cannot teach. No, it's not that way. So we all need to have this character of the Son of God, that I came so that everyone can freely drink of this water to cause others to mature. This is our desire. I'm thinking like if everyone have this kind of mindset that we truly know that the Son of God came to save us, is not to condemn us, then we would be confident before God. We can boldly come before God and tell him our problem. I need you. I need your grace. I need your salvation. You came to save me. So no matter how bad I am, I don't need to be embarrassed and ashamed to come before you, God. On the other hand, we must pay attention that we do not condemn others. and do not feel that others are condemning us or accusing us, and then to escape and from this old wineskins, that we have this new wineskin in us. It is grace. From His fullness of His grace, we have received Him. From our own backgrounds, we have a wrong treatment. When other people look at their glance, or they look at us, or they dislike us, we need to escape from that old wineskin. Because the old wineskins prevent us from receiving the grace of God through this message. We would not misunderstand our God. And then in the house of God, we can love one another. And if there are any words, we can say openly. And that we are here to save people. And they are here to help me, to save me. And that we can, that there's no accusation and no condemnation, or we are no fear of condemnation from others. And if you are, since you're young, you have this kind of a spirit of condemnation, then God loves you especially. The hurt that you receive from a young, God wants to give you double, triple, quadruple portion to give you. But you must open your heart. He said, Lord, I need to get rid of my old wineskins. I need to look upon you only. I still have much words to share with you. I will share with you next time. You remember that in the house of God, in your, compared to your past colleagues, your workplace, or in your family, in this house of God, you have the freedom to be wrong. And you have the freedom to be wrong and not feel accused and condemned. The greater wrong you've done, and if you acknowledge that you're wrong, you turn and you can receive the grace of God. Then you can receive the love of God. So this today I ask for your forgiveness. And if you feel like you have done wrong, and don't be afraid that I would do something. And that there's no nothing, that there's no darkness in them, I'm happy. And they're completely erased from my mind. This is a family of love. God has given such a family of love. We need to be joyful. Do not hide ourselves. Let us sing this hymn. Do not hide yourself. In the third verse it says, in the fifth line it says, fly to the heart of God. Fly to the bosom of God, our Father. One time while we were singing this hymn, and then Rebecca saw a vision while we were singing this hymn. She saw that every one of us, we want to fly to the bosom of the Father, but we do not have strength to fly. So God gave us two wings. And then the wings are full of white feathers, full of feathers, and the great wings. And then lifted us up, lifted to the bosom of the Father. And that the bosom of the Father is as large as a mountain. And you see many feet, and chubby feet, and they're flying to the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father is so joyful, and He hugged His children. And when His Heavenly Father saw His families, His children flying to Him, the whole mountain starts shaking. Our Heavenly Father is so great and fearsome. And on the other hand, He is so loving of His children, hugging His children. Lastly, I want to share with you, Rebecca's father, Mr. Lee, you know, when he first came here, he has been smoking for over 50 years. And he has been kind of sad, and for things that happened in his life, and he almost have the signs. He has the signs of depression. When he first came, he wants to sleep, and he was sleep until 11 a.m. And after lunch, he would go sleep again. And we asked Rebecca, is he that he has jet lag? No, he does not have jet lag. He just loves to sleep. He has the signs of depression, and his heart was broken. And after he came here, he only came to two meetings, Saturday prayer meeting and the Sunday worship. I know that every time when saw him, when we sing the hymns, I saw him. It seems like he has a deep suffering, and he's pouring that pain out to God. And then he's receiving the love of God. I've seen that kind of the expression on his face. And after a while, he stopped smoking. His depression, it was gone. He's received the presence of God so fully. And many times he would cook for us. After our hop and bowl meetings, we got home at 2, he said. He said that before you guys came back, after the cooking the meal, he would just sit there, and he felt the presence of God. He said that did not know that God loved him so much, and that God's presence can be so wonderful. He went to mainland China to visit his relatives, and Rebecca called him. He said that when he came here, he has received so much. He has been saved. He said that he's so happy. He said that he never thought that he can enjoy the presence of God by so much. And from his testimony, he is a very humble elder. He never criticizes a judge, never criticizes, never judge, never care about other people's business. It's very easy to forgive others. And Rebecca said that many times we said to his daddy, he said, no, daddy, don't put it this way, or don't put it in the wrong place again. And then his daddy said, oh, I'm sorry. And Rebecca is embarrassed and said that, no, this is not what I mean. I really don't mean that. And then his father, he said that, well, if I'm wrong, then I need to acknowledge I'm wrong. He's very sincere. And from him, I discovered that a person can come to two meetings a week. He has received so much of God. But and the presence of God does not depend on our efforts. We come to many meetings, but then in us, we have a finger pointing out to others, a spirit of religion, or this person, or just come to so few meetings, or this person have gone to so many meetings and still this way. Or that person, how come that person can dance this way? How come this person can sing and so awful sound? But even though we're pursuing, but inside of us we have the spirit of accusation or condemnation. We have driven out Jesus from us. So we discovered that our God is so real. He's so real. He really depends on our sincerity within, our humility. We have the love of God. We do not accuse others. We want to save others. When Mr. Liu cooked for us, we don't feel embarrassed, ashamed. He said that, oh, it's okay, you are so busy, and then it is my privilege to cook for you. And it's truly that way. And he doesn't feel like he's so old, and therefore, or that everybody needs to listen to him. Many times when we were eating and we were fellowshiping another, and he's very quiet whilst eating, it seems like he's not there. And then after he's finished his meal, then he would cut the fruits for us, and then after he finished the fruit, he would go upstairs. And you know, God rewarded him. It doesn't mean that we do not pursue the Lord, unless we have such a great grace. Of course, a daughter who is a full-time ministry, God has a special grace on the parents. I know that God also blessed my parents. And then I want to say that when we're pursuing the Lord, we need to know our God came to save our lives. So that every day in my heart, do I think, do I want to save lives of others and not to accuse and condemn others? For example, harp and ball, bowl of worship. Some people not used to this type of worship, or they don't have time to come, and they don't need to feel that you have received, and they are talking about it, and that you have received much, and then I cannot catch up with you. And they will accuse themselves and accuse others. This is the meeting that's outside the regular meetings. This is a meeting planned by the church, morning, noon, and evening. Whoever has needs, they can come. Many among us that have mental issue, mental problems, they have a spirit of depression on them, they came, and then they were healed, and they become better, because you need to continually to come. In the deep worship, God healed them. We did a survey, and 95% of the feedback, they feel like they are more released and more happy. And they said that they have received healing and more free, and they more feel the presence of God and His love. And when they go home, they like to draw near to God. The mother of Lily said to her, "Don't go to that church. That church is a cult. And why do they pray so loud? It is a cult." So this time, because the sister was to go to surgery, she came. And then she came with a heavy burden. And so Lily brought her to the harp and bowl worship. And then Lily, we said to her, "Mom," we said, "Mom, why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you sing? And why don't you dance?" And then in the beginning, she would not dance. And then she's old, so she did not want to dance. And then after a few times, she started to dance. And she was released. And then and she received the filling of the Holy Spirit. And after a week, she returned. She called Lily and said that the joy is still within us. And she called and tell the sister that she sister need to come to our church. She said, "This is a good church." And himself, she has said, "Say, you know, after a week, the joy of the Lord is still inside of me." So we have this harp and bowl worship. It is for such a person. If you have relatives and friends visiting you, and they difficult times, you can't counsel them. So bring them to the harp and bowl worship, and let the presence of the Lord, by His words, enter into people to release them and to heal them. Those who come and participate, do not accuse and condemn those who do not come. Do not say, "Oh, how come you don't come? Oh, you have these problems because you did not come." Do not condemn others. We must be careful. The Son of God came is to save lives. When you say this, your hope, your purpose is that they come and receive goodness. But by saying it, you accuse others. So our purpose is to put off the old wineskins, the old ways of thinking, the old ways of saying things. God wants to save us, and our heart and desire is to save others, to help them, to put off the old wineskins, throw off the spirit of condemnation and the fear of being condemned. Let us rise and sing. Don't hide yourself. Don't bury yourself. Do not hide yourself from the God who loves you. You are in my heart. It's a valuable musical instrument. I want to blow my Holy Spirit into you. To blow out the beautiful music. To proclaim the kingdom of God has come. Before the creation of the world, I have chosen you in Christ. Forever I affirm you. You are my precious child. Open your heart and let me love you. The first and second stanza is the Heavenly Father saying to us, we need to open our hearts. Since you are young, if you have not received enough love and hugging from your and praise from your parents, and therefore our attitude towards others is always a pointing finger. So let us open our hearts. Let our Father hug us in His love, that we may be restored to the honorable position of the Son of God. Then we will have grace towards others, and we do not be fear, no longer fear that others will be condemning us again. Do not hide yourself. Don't bury yourself. Do not hide yourself from the Lord who loves you. You are always in my heart. It's a precious instrument. I want to blow into you the Holy Spirit. And to blow out a beautiful piece of music. To proclaim the kingdom of heaven is here. Before the creation of the world, I've chosen you in Christ. Forever I affirm, you are my precious child. Open up your heart and let me love you. Don't wait until you're perfect. Don't be afraid of your weaknesses. Do not doubt that there is not enough grace. Your shortcomings, let me rule over them. I will give you peace. Proclaim the beautiful music. Proclaim the kingdom of God is here. Before the creation of the world, I have chosen you in Christ. Forever, I affirm, you are my precious child. Open up your heart and let me love you. Don't wait until you're perfect. Don't be afraid of your shortcomings. Do not doubt, I don't have enough grace. Your shortcomings, let me rule over them. Then you will be able to enjoy my peace. And to preach the beautiful music. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven is here. Before the creation of the world, I have chosen you in Christ. Forever I affirm, you are my precious child. Open up your heart and let me love you. Let us dance and accept His love. Don't need to hide. Do not need to carry us on alone. Do not doubt or reject His love. Do not longer afraid of hurt. A escaped from the darkness and ran towards the light. Fly to the heart of God. Fly to the bosom of the Father. Before the creation of the world, I have been chosen in Christ. Forever you have affirmed to me, I am your precious child. I offer up myself wholly to love you with all my heart. Don't hide yourself. Don't carry on alone. Don't reject God's love. Don't be afraid of hurt. Walk out from darkness and run towards light. Let us fly towards the heart of God. Fly to the bosom of the Father. Before the creation of the world, you have chosen me. Forever you have affirmed to me, I am your precious child. I offer up myself wholly to love you. If you feel you need to put off this old wineskin, I want to receive your love. I need to throw off this old wineskins of criticism spirit, of condemning others, whether I condemn others or others condemn me, or the Heavenly Father condemning me, or this wrong understanding. Lord, I need to throw away this old wineskins. I want to save people and I need your salvation. I need to enjoy your love. You can come up front. After we finish the stanza, you can come up front. Let us go to the bosom of the Father. Don't hide myself. Don't carry on alone. And no longer reject the Lord's love. No longer afraid of hurt. I want to walk out of darkness and fly towards life. Fly to the heart of God. Fly to the bosom of the Father. Forever, before the creation of the world, you have chosen me in Christ. Forever you affirm to me, I am your precious child. Offer up myself wholly to love you with my